Please and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I'm doing something that years ago I did not do. I used to just plow through with the series on Christmas and Easter and so forth. And I have ceased to do that because I know there are very possibly visitors who have not heard the gospel. And let me tell you what we want to do this hour and next hour in particular. And by the way, if you have children, I would like to have them up here next hour. I'd like to talk to them. By children, I'll let you use your own definition. What we want to do is look at the claims of Jesus and say this: your mom, your dad, your brothers, your sisters, your friend may have faced these claims, but have you personally responded to the claims of Jesus? And that's what we want to look at next hour. I had an interesting experience this week at the barber shop in North Kansas City, because as I was waiting, a young man came in who was 15 or 16. He had to be 16. He drove. He was a student at North Kansas City High School. Could have been any high school. And for some reason, as he got in the barber chair, the barber said, "Well, tomorrow is Good Friday." And he did not know what Good Friday was. He wasn't kidding. He didn't know what Good Friday was. I can't imagine going all the way through school and never learning something like that, even in a secular context. But it does, I think, illustrate to us that there is a tremendous dearth of Bible knowledge in our country. People simply do not know what the Bible says, what the Word of God says. And as such, that means there's no truth around. Would you believe in our society there is no truth? Are you shocked? Or do you listen to the television and recognize there is no truth? Because truth is founded in and comes from the Word of God. And today I want to spend this hour on the most basic truth of Christianity. And then next hour I want to do the following. And we'll put this up twice, but let me show it to you now. And it's based on looking at the claims of Christ. That's a little small for you at the back, isn't it? If it is, I've got up here, Jesus claims to be God. And we want to look in the Gospel of John about some of the claims that Jesus made. And we'll want to look at the book of Matthew, which has an interesting phenomena. Jesus never speaks of his death without also speaking of his resurrection. Put it in very simple terms. Whenever Jesus mentions his death, he says, "I'll die on Friday. See you guys on Sunday." Because every prediction of his death is accompanied with a prediction of his resurrection. Now, that's not something we can play with. Jesus' claims are as clear as they can possibly be. Jesus says things like, "I and my Father are one." Now, you may hate that. You may not want to hear that. You may love that. That doesn't make any difference. And frankly, this morning, I don't care how you respond to it. well, I care, but in one sense, how you respond to the claims of Jesus, that's all up to you. But hey, don't you owe it to look at the claims? At least read them. I think one of the most profound statements I ever heard made was this. Most people reject the caricature of Christianity because they've never heard the real thing. Have you ever heard that thing? The Christians persecuted and killed and did this sort of thing for those who did not believe the way they did, and assume that that is the story of Christianity. And I would beg you today, I would beg you, do not learn Christianity from Christians. Do not learn Christianity from Christians. Face Christianity from its basic document, the Scriptures. And therefore, we want to look very simply, and I will not try to persuade you of their truthfulness. I'll just lay them out and say, hey, read it. Read it. This is the document of Christianity. And forget your grandma, your mother, your father, who claimed to be a Christian, your brother, your sister, your friends, people at such and such a church with whom you had a horrible experience. Grant all of that, but would you do one thing this morning? Forget it. Just put it in the back of your mind and allow yourself to look at the claims of the Word of God. Now, when you do look at the claims of Jesus to be God, you go two ways. You may say, not true. You may say, true. And I'm not going to try, at least at the outset, to persuade you which way to go. But there is a branch in the road. There has to be. Jesus claimed to be God, and those claims were one of two things. They were true or they were false. And you can listen to his claims and look at it, as I hope you will this morning, and as I would like to ask our children to do. Look at what Jesus said about himself. Look about his claims. Were they true? Were they false? And I mean to analyze those claims just as simply as you would if I would say to you this morning, my name is Chester, and I am the President of the United States of America. That's what I say I am. That's what I claim to be. You say, that's false. I reject that out of hand. You are not the President of the United States. On the other hand, you could look over here and say, well, there is an option to his clear statement. And the option to his clear statement is to say, I believe you. This is true. And you may say, yes, I believe it's true. You are truly Bill. Oh, God. But in facing the claims of Jesus, you've got to say they are false or they are true. Now, let's suppose you say these claims are false. And I'm going to give them to you. And let you say what you believe. Are they false? Now, if they are false, we take another branch. He knew it. He knew they were false. Or, he didn't know it. fair options, isn't it? They were false claims. He did not know it. Or he knew it. If he knew it, where must we come to? If I say I am something that I am not, and I know I'm saying that, then I am a liar, am I not? And more than being a liar, he was also the world's biggest fool because he died for it. He died maintaining his claims that he was God. If they're false, and he knew it, he was a liar in life and a fool in death. Now, I'm not trying to persuade you. I'm trying to say, use your head. Think logically. Jesus made claims to be God. They had to be true or they had to be false. If they were false, one of two things. He knew it and therefore went around at all times saying, I know I'm lying, I know I'm lying, I know I'm lying, I claim to be God, but I know I'm lying. Do you think he did that? And do you think he died on the cross maintaining that he was God? If he did, wasn't he a fool? You know, one of the great arguments for the resurrection is this. Would you willingly die for what you knew to be a lie? Would you do that? Do men do that? I tell you what I do. I might maintain my lie till the last minute. But as soon as they said, you're going to die for it, I'd say, Kings, I was just kidding. I didn't mean it. I've lied all my life. Well, we don't use that word anymore. I made mistakes all of my life, and I was mistaken about myself, and I perpetuated that mistake. But now I'm sorry. Don't kill me. Or would you bravely face death, knowing in your own mind that what you proclaimed was a lie? Do men die for what they know to be lies? Only a fool. There's another option on the if the claims were false view, that he knew it and therefore was a liar all the way and a fool. But what if he made false claims and didn't know it? Suppose I would consistently say to you, I am the Jolly Green Giant. And you would say, what's the joke? Until I began every day to say I'm the Jolly Green Giant. And one day I would come in dressed like him because I am the Jolly Green Giant. No kidding. I really am. You say you're joking. No, I'm not kidding. I believe that. Can you say a nice word for me? He is, to say it in a nice way, deluded. In a more frank way, he's crazy. He's nuts. And you would eventually say, you need help from a psychiatrist who is equally nuts. I will never forget in Iowa, Burlington, with Jim Marshall meeting a psychiatrist, and it was at a social affair, And he was kind of odd. He dressed funny. And Jim introduced me to him. I will never forget. He said, "This is Dr. So-and-so." And the doctor held out his hand and said, "Glad to meet you." And then turned around. And I thought that was strange. That's normally not the way you greet a person, by turning your head away. But if Jesus knew what he was saying, or did not know what he was saying, he did not know he was lying, he did not know when he claimed to be God that this was false, if he did not know this, then I think we have to come to only one conclusion. Jesus Christ was absolutely deluded. It's crazy. Now let me ask you a question. Did anyone ever think that? Did anyone ever say you are out of your mind? Did anyone say you are crazy? Come on, tell me. Who did? Who thought he was crazy? His brothers and his sisters. Remember that passage? Where they decided that he was out of his mind? So some did listen to what he said. And they listened so carefully and so closely that they said, "This can only be a deluded, crazy man." On the other hand, if his claims to be God were true, then he is the Lord of the universe. The Lord of the universe. I love the way someone puts it. He is the one who spoke and the universe leaped into existence. He is Lord of the universe if his claims are true. Where does that leave us? Two options. You can accept those claims and say, "Yes, you are Lord, and I bow to your Lordship. Yes, your Savior, and I believe in you. I rest my destiny in you, and you have been raised from the dead as Lord of the universe, and I accept you." But you may say, "Rubbish. I'll go down this line. I do not accept or believe the claims of Christ." And let me ask you, how many people have really been faced with that issue? Who is he? Who does he claim to be? Oh, you've gone to church and signed a pledge card and agreed to tithe, so you'd get rich. But I'm not talking about that. I'm saying, have you, for yourself? You say, "Well, I have wonderful Christian mom and dad." That's wonderful. That's nice. But you, and I don't like to point fingers, but this morning I intend, with all the force I can, to say you. I'm pointing at you. You. Have you faced those claims? You've come to church. You've even come to Beth Haven Church and taken notes. But have you personally, apart from anybody else, including me, faced an issue? He has made claims. They're not shady claims. They're clear. They're easy to understand. And therefore, in our session next time, I want to take you through those claims. And if you have faced them all and made your decision, well and good. If you haven't, And I have an idea, don't you, that probably in a church of our size, which is not large, but there are plenty of people here, don't you think there's a possibility that maybe your son has not faced those claims? That your daughter has not faced those claims? As clear as they are? And not only faced them, but said, it demands that mentally I believe this, or I don't believe this. I've got to say it's rubbish. Or I've got to smile at it and say, oh, it's so nice. And how many people do that? They'll quote the Westminster Confession this morning in church. It'll go out their lips. And they'll say, it's so beautiful. It's so nice. I don't care whether you think the claims of Jesus are beautiful or nice or what. The issue is, are they true? And if they are true, He is truly Lord of the universe. What do you plan to do about it? I'd like to add one thing before we break. And that's this. There are many, many, many religions of the world. All kinds, aren't there? Mohammedanism, Islam, Hinduism, Buddhism. You can name them on and on and on. So you can conduct a study, of world religions. But you know, all of a sudden, one thing makes them very simple. And that's when you realize that all of the world's religions, almost all of them, are based on big philosophical ideas. Is that what you want to build your life on? Human philosophical ideas? There are, as best as I can see, and it's only my judgment, out of all those religions based on philosophical ideas, there are perhaps four that are not based on that. They are based on personalities that in men's minds live on and on. But of all the world's religions, there is only one that says our founder died and rose from the grave. And I don't care how secular you may be, but you'll have to agree with that. Christianity argues that our Savior died according to His own predictions, and He was raised from the dead according to His own prediction. That was not nebulous. They will kill me, and in 3 days, I will rise from the dead. And He did. Christianity is absolutely incomparable in that it has a living Lord forever. And let me give, in closing, the three basic, unique features of Christianity. And I'm laying it against Hinduism, Buddhism, all the religions of the world. Three things. And I'll establish this next hour. Its founder claimed to be God. Its founder claimed to be God. Once again, you may bristle. You may not like that. But hey, bud, can you read? Can you read? Can you see what he said? And I'm going to ask you to take the Bible next hour and look at what he said. I didn't say it. Jesus said it. And we've got more witnesses to that fact than any other religion, because four men independently, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, looked at that life and they recorded it independently, not as a group. That's not to say that it is not true that there are some, 40 authors of Scripture writing over 4,000 years, and I can take that book that they all wrote together and get a systematic, orderly theology out of it, and they never consulted? You got to say something for that. There's no book like it that is a library and that is written, as we said, by 40 men over better than 2,000 years without consultation, without living in the same place. And you can derive from that book an orderly, logical, systematic theology. You can say they all say this about God. They all hold Him to be absolutely holy, absolute truth. They hold Him to be, in the fullest sense of the word, eternal, immutable, unchangeable. And they all do it together. 40 authors, all sing the same song. That's because the comment of Scripture on itself is true, which says all Scripture is God-breathed. That's another unique feature of Christianity. Number one, its founder claimed to be God. Number two, its founder prophesied that He would die. Where He would die? Who would kill Him, how they would do it, and where they would do it. I must go to Jerusalem, suffer many things of the chief priests and scribes, and die. And the third day, I'll see you again. Because I will rise. Buddha, you understand I'm quoting Buddha, its founder prophesied that He would die and rise again. And that's all nice and wonderful if He dies and if He rises. Number three, its founder did, as a matter of fact, rise from the dead and is the living Lord of the universe. And the question we want to conclude with, is He your Lord? Have you faced these claims yourself and said, yes, I'll admit intellectually that they are true? I realize that world religions are based on philosophical ideas, but Christianity is different. It's full of the claims of Jesus. And I have a choice to make. And I would like to say to your children this morning, if you will bring them up here, you have a choice to make. And the choice is simply this. Jesus said, I am God. I am Savior. I am Lord. Am I your God, your Savior, and your Lord? Nobody can make that decision for you. It's all up to you. It's yours. You may say, I reject it. You may say, I believe it, and I rest my eternal destiny on the finished work of Jesus Christ. It's up to you. Oh, I know. We're in Ephesians, and we're going to deal with the doctrine of election. And ultimately, things are in the hands of a mighty God. But that does not eliminate your responsibility to respond to the truth of God. And I look at you and I close with this in mind. I wonder, and I said I'm going to point fingers today. I'll do with those who are least offended. And I mean to say, the claims of Jesus, your husband has faced them, your children have, but Jane, have you? Ted, have you? That's the essence of what we want to do today. And next hour, we will pick up with the claims of Christ so we can then deal with them and see which branch we're going to go down. Are they true? Or are they false? And I've got just a few minutes to close. And I've tried to think of ways to illustrate the choices up to you. This story's been told many times. There was an old man who the kids used to ridicule. And they said, we gotta get that old man confused. We gotta get him in a corner. He seems to know everything. And so one kid said, I know what I'll do. I'll catch this bird in my hand. I'll hold it like this. I'll get him. I'll say to him, is the bird dead? Or is the bird alive? If he says the bird is alive, I'll just squeeze and say, the bird is dead. Old man, you're wrong. If he says the bird is dead, I'll hold my hand and the bird will fly away. And you know, the old man said, when he asked, is the bird dead or alive? You know his words? Son, it's all up to you. It is your choice. And therefore, I hope we each one, and I hope you're not offended, as I point my finger, Larry, have you faced them for Larry? So I ought to come back, shouldn't I? Chester, have you faced the claims of Jesus and submitted to Him as the Lord of the universe? Father, we're thankful for Your truth this morning. We're thankful that we do serve the living Lord of the universe. And we pray that as we face these claims, we will learn to face them as individuals, realizing that in the last analysis, it's not mom and dad and brother and preacher and friend. It's us and the Lord. In Christ's name, amen.